So it says moral nihilism or moral realism. That's kind of the positions that the non-Christian can take, right? The so-called religious nuns, he says, have basically just these two paths to tread for grounding morals. The most obvious route, he tells us, is Nietzsche's moral nihilism. Any objective morals and obligations don't exist. Mm-hmm. There is no morality. They are denied altogether, right? We have a full-blown here, he says, moral subjectivism. No moral choice is to be preferred over another. In other words, there is no discernible ground for morality, right? And so he talks here, he gives us an illustration from the notorious serial killer Ted Bundy. Yeah. And he kind of clearly expresses the logic of embracing this particular view.
We covered exactly this quote in Mitch Stokes' How to Be an Atheist, when he kind of brought this factor up too. Here's a little bit of what Ted Bundy has said. Why should I be willing to sacrifice more pleasure from one than from the other? Surely you would not, in the scientific enlightenment, declare God or nature marks some pleasure as moral or good or others as immoral or bad. In any case, let me assure you, my dear young lady, that there is absolutely no comparison between the pleasure I take in eating ham and the pleasure I anticipate raping and murdering you. That is the honest conclusion to what my education has led me after the most conscientious examination of my spontaneous and uninhibited self. Wow. And that's all that's left to people without this type of standard.
It's whatever I think.
Yeah. Why not? Whatever,
I create
it. Well, because he's in jail. Well, that just tells me that you can hold somebody. That doesn't tell me that their ideas are wrong or right.
Yeah.
If he takes us to a full on conclusion and eats everybody, we might have an issue at some point, but that's just for continuation of species. But species have stopped continuing. We hunted animals to extinction. The bison is pretty much extinct. The dodo bird is only in museums as carvings. So there's some remedy between animals and humans that we find fault with at some point.
Yeah. So notice we can say we don't like what he does.
Yeah.
But who does he have obligations to if there's no God, right? Why would he have obligations to people to do anything toward us, right? He can do whatever he wants to do. Now, again, we may not like it, but that's so what, right? We don't like chocolate ice cream, right? We don't like a lot of things,
chocolate
right?
Chocolate ice cream, people ice cream.
Right? But so that doesn't make, just because we don't like something doesn't necessarily, is what we see here, make something evil or good or whatever, right?
Pineapple on pizza.
If you don't have a universal standard that's set up by a person who is judged, then you can be your own, and whatever you say goes.
Right.
And what can we say against that other than we don't like that? Yeah.
Right. I prefer you not to. Thank you.
So the vast majority of self-conscious, non-Christian, non-theistic thinkers obviously would be appalled by the arguments for moral nihilism that Bundy makes, right? Few people, no matter how opposed they are to biblical morality, would affirm that Ted Bundy or, for instance, Jeffrey Dahmer's actions are morally incomprehensible. So notice, we're not saying that unbelievers can't know what is morally right or wrong and can't do what is morally right or wrong, right? We're clearly, the vast majority of the people would say this man, what he's done is wrong. In fact, is evil, right? So we're not saying that that's the position of the unbeliever, right? That that they can't do or know evil or good.
But by what standard?
Yeah.
By what standard are you able to call something good or evil? And why does that sense that you have or that knowledge that you have, why is it opposed to me? Like even say that, this is the biggest human flourishing. Why should I care about human flourishing? Okay, sure, maybe it affects me. I might live a 10% better life, but I just don't want to.
Yeah.
So why should I do anything at all?
Yeah. Yeah. So most of them then kind of reject this nihilism that Nietzsche has kind of helped us to understand that it seems like atheism has to be associated with, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people find good solace in you know, Nietzsche, and especially in college when you first learn about it, and the Ubermensches, and you know, the might of the will. And so there you all that you have left is not good evil, it's the might of the person to drive that forward, you know, the Alexander the Greats of our
the
time,
Superman.
Yeah. So, you know, and you know, even within Superman, he had his Jor-El crystal telling him, "You shall be a god as among them." And then you needed Jonathan Kent to hone him in and adopt him and say, "No, you're also human, even though you come as an alien person. Yeah, you're still my son." So it's just neat to see that. So I had to get my nerdy bit in there. So that this is mine.
And so what we need to see here is that Christensen is saying that most philosophers, even unbelieving philosophers, reject this kind of nihilism that we see here.
Yeah, right? But it seems to be they reject it because they don't want it to be, rather than it's more in line with the other one. So we know that's just society talking, because society drives everything. Then we just have societal standards.